This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to look at really verses 12 through 14. Ecclesiastes, if you don't know where that is, go to Psalms and Proverbs, and it'll be the next book after Proverbs. Pretty easy to find. It's 12 short chapters, but it is one of the more significant books of poetry in the Old Testament. It really is. And as many of you probably have studied it at different times in your Christian journey, it's one, unfortunately, that you don't hear many sermons from. But it has a lot of wealth and depth and meaning to it, because in this we believe that Solomon is the author, or what we would more accurately call here the convener. He's the convener of thoughts. In fact, if you've read and studied this, you know that there's a reference to a preacher or a teacher. Now, most scholars believe that that is nothing more than just Solomon's role of convening the thoughts and the views and what we might even today call the philosophies. When you look at the bird's eye view of Ecclesiastes, it's very simple. It's really a search for what the real meaning of all of this is. How do we find meaning in life? What is the purpose of it all? And as we look at this, we find that even in the day of Solomon, there were a lot of different options and worldviews and beliefs and philosophies. And even today, we still are faced with so many, it seems, options. I mean, some have referred to this sort of process as a cafeteria, where you just walk down the aisle and you are picking sort of the pieces from the buffet line that you want. And then you're sort of making what you think the meaning is based on a lot of different options. And the problem with that is that we don't remain true to the truth. And that's essentially what Solomon is trying to call the reader back to, is to understand that God is the purpose. He's the meaning. And outside of Him, we will not discover what the real meaning of all of this is and why we go through the things that we go through, and why things seem to happen the way they do. And so this morning, as we look at this, I want us to think about just that. How do we find meaning in life? Now, it is good to be home, but I love being in the village. And one of the things that amazes me, and it happens every single time that I go, and it often happens within those that we bring, especially the first-timers, is how so simple life is in the village. I mean, they don't have the hustle and bustle in life that you and I have. They don't have all of the problems that you and I face in going through traffic to work and doing things in our jobs. And you know what? They're waking up each morning and they're going to their fields and they're working their fields to get food in order to either trade with or eat their own family, eat with their family. I mean, they if they don't work, they don't eat. And I'm always reminded of the fact, and I told the team this time, we were in the overlook, sort of looking out over the valley. It's just a beautiful view. You all have seen pictures of it. And I was reminding the team that every time I come to this point, I just get convicted. Because what we think is the purpose in life and the meaning of it all is often not what it really is. And when I visit with Chris and Ashley and now Heather and Daniel, I'm convicted. They don't have anything in comparison to what you and I have. And they have voluntarily chosen to move 3,000 miles away from their homes into a place to do nothing more than just do what God had called them to do. And then you and I have the audacity to complain because it's too cold or too hot, or there's too much traffic this morning, or there's a line at the gas station, or our boss at our jobs is complaining about something that really is minuscule in comparison to all kinds of things that really have real meaning in life. And so while I sort of worked through this sermon before I left to go to Peru, it's one this morning that is heavy on my heart. It really is. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage. Father, thank you this morning for just the blessing of your word and Father, really the timelessness of it. We know Solomon is working through this process thousands of years ago, some 4,000 years ago, really. And many of the same dilemmas that he was facing and discovering in his culture are the same things that we face and discover even still today. We've been distracted as a people. We sometimes focus on the things that are really minor in comparison to the things that really are major. And I pray this morning as I come to this, convicted of sorts, understanding that even in my own life, that I've gotten distracted and focused on things sometimes that really I think are important, but in your eyes really aren't important. And I know there are others this morning probably like that. Lord, help us to just be able, Father, to soak up the truth this morning, to be reminded that you are on your throne and sovereign. There's nothing greater than you. Help us as believers, as your children, to be able, Father, to focus on the things that really are important in our lives and in the world around us. And as we venture through this passage this morning, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to that. Lord, if there is someone here this morning who truly has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, my prayer this morning is that they would hear a message of evangelism, that the Spirit of God would begin working and convicting them and bringing them to the truth that Jesus is the most important thing for them today, to accept Christ. And that doesn't mean everything's going to go away and all of the problems are going to cease to exist, but it does mean that they now have you by their side. And so, Father, we lift them up and pray that you would open their hearts and their minds to you. You bless us today as we read your word together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, these are the concluding remarks of Solomon at the end of this book. And it really starts a little bit further back, but I'm going to start in verse 12. And he makes this statement, "But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful. For writing books is endless and much study wears you out." Now, let me interpret a little bit of what he's saying here. Listen, you can search till the end of the day and you can find all kinds of alternatives to what the meaning of it all is. But it will exhaust you when you come back to discover it's been in front of you all along. That's what he's saying here. Because if you've read all previous 11 chapters, you know that he has sort of walked us through some of these alternatives and ideas. Then in verse 13 is where he sort of begins to get to the final thoughts. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Now we're going to break this apart and spend the rest of our time sort of walking through what he means by these next words. Here's what Solomon, the scriptures are telling us is the meaning of it all is. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Then verse 14, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. You know what that tells us is that we're all going to stand in judgment one day. We're all going to have to answer for the way that we've lived our life in accordance to what the meaning that God gives us here or not. And so as we look at this morning, I want to break this statement down. Fear God and obey his commands. Looking back, understanding that this is an Old Testament passage, but looking at it sort of through a New Testament application, there are four things I want us to sort of focus on this morning. In this quest, if you will, to answer the question, how do we fulfill the meaning that we find in life? How do we discover that? How do we fear God and obey God? In all things, not just some things, but in all things. The first one is this, you'll see it on the screen. Have Jesus as your Savior. Now I know Solomon in his day had no concept of Jesus as the Christ. He knew that the Messiah was coming, but Christ had not come at the point that he wrote this, but he still allows. When we discover Christ, we begin to find meaning. Now I know the world says all kinds of different things. But I am convinced that outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never discover the true purpose and meaning of it all. You just won't. And that's part of the burden that we carry, is that we know that the world is starving for truth. They're hungering for meaning. They're trying to discover purpose. And you and I know the answer to that through Jesus Christ. And so part of the burden that we carry, as talked about in the New Testament, is that we need to go into all of the world, even places like Peru, into your neighborhood, into your job, into your homes, and we need to share the truth of who Jesus is. He is the Savior. And we discover that when we begin to pursue Him and make Him both the Lord of our life and our Savior. And we're going to talk more about the Lord concept in a moment. But when we make Him our Savior and Lord, then we discover really the meaning of it all. And that is we're here. We're here to serve Him. As it tells us, to fear the Lord. Now you understand what that means. We've talked about that many times in different services. The fear concept here is not a fear of horror. It's not like watching a scary movie or having a fear of something. It's a fear of respect. It's a fear of honor. It's putting God in His proper place and understanding that He is on His throne. He's created everything. And you and I, though He loves us and has chosen us to be His children as believers, we are nothing in comparison to Him. But yet He still loves us. And when He creates us, He gives us purpose and meaning. He does. Purpose and meaning throughout the life cycle, not just when we're young, not just when we're able to do certain things, but all throughout the life cycle, we have purpose and meaning. And so when we talk about fearing the Lord, it's really a fear of reverence, putting God in His proper place. And then, of course, we understand what He means by the idea of obey His commands. That's the concept of keeping the Lord in focus, keeping the Lord on His throne in your life, and choosing every single day to put that in focus. And we're going to develop these as we move through this. But listen, the first step, no question, has to be that Jesus is our Savior. That we understand what He did for us on the cross, and that we live by that every single day, and that the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through what Jesus did on the cross is really where we begin to discover the meaning and purpose. Outside of that, everything else pales in comparison. It really does. And so when we talk about the monies and the efforts and all of the programs that are built in order to carry the truth of who Jesus is into all of the parts of the world, we understand that all of that is necessary because that's what God has given us to do, is to share that truth with others. And it's not just in remote parts of the world. It's with your husband, your wife. Could be with your children. Could be with your brothers and sisters, your parents. Sometimes that evangelism ground for you is very close. But all we can do is be the messengers of that. And we understand that we don't save anyone. It's not our power. All we are is just the tools and the instruments that the Lord provides. And so we carry that truth. We deliver that truth. Then we leave the results up to the Holy Spirit. And that's ultimately who does the work of convicting. But listen, we understand this as well. That the Holy Spirit does not force Himself on anyone. That a person has to be willing to accept Christ and place Him as their Savior as well as their Lord. And that leads us to the second thing. If we're going to discover meaning, not only do we need to understand Jesus as our Savior, number two is this. This is one we often talk about. We need to keep Jesus as our Lord. You know what this means? It really means having a right relationship with the Lord. It's not enough just to pray and accept Christ one day and then go back to your old life. I would doubt whether one is really saved if that's what they're doing. Because when we talk about salvation, we now begin to talk about real change in a person's life. The Bible seems to indicate that. How do we know that we're saved? Through the change that has taken place in our life. I mean, there's a lot of questions that come up in a new believer's mind. But one that often comes up is the idea of, how do I know that I'm saved? Well, the Holy Spirit leaves evidences, I believe, marks, if you will, in a person's life. And so we can't remain in the old self if we're truly saved. And so part of this is the idea of making Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, we understand we don't make God do anything. But on our life, we place Him as the Lord of our life. That is a little bit deeper than the idea of Savior. Savior is the idea that God has forgiven us of our sins, and now Jesus is our Savior. But in this world today, we need to make sure that we're keeping the Lord as the Lord of our life. What does that mean? He is in control of everything. And this is something that I think Christians struggle with today. We like to give the Lord sort of domain over certain things, and over things that sometimes we're confused about and maybe don't understand, but we rarely want to give Him domain over everything. And when you begin to make the Lord of your life, that means giving Him everything. Your job, your worries, The struggles that you face, the uncertainties, your fears, even the idea of purpose and meaning, you give that over to Him and let Him be the Lord of those things. And again, listen, that is not something that you decide one morning and then it's done. It's something really that you do every single day. When Jesus tells us we take up our cross, He really is meaning that we're putting Christ as Lord of our life today. And as you journey through your day, in different moments, you have the opportunity to make choices and decisions. And you're choosing to put the Lord as the Lord of that decision, of that dilemma, of that question, of that concern. And doing that every single day, keeping Him the Lord of your life. I think that's one of the great struggles today. Because we sometimes have sort of been told that once you make that decision, it's final. And I would agree, when you accept Christ as your Savior, that is final. Nothing will ever change that. But it's a daily decision that we make to allow God to be the Lord of our life. To put Him in that sort of throne seat. Letting Him be in control of all of our life. Not just those areas that we're comfortable giving Him. Letting Him be the driver. Letting Him be the boss. Letting Him be the one who is in control. That is something that every single day we have to choose to do. And I would even say at every moment of the day we're making that choice and that decision. And so if we're going to discover meaning in life, we've got to first start with Jesus as our Savior. Number two is that we've got to come to terms with the struggle of letting Jesus be the Lord of our life in every arena of our life. And if we're not doing that, then we will often be confused by purpose and meaning because we get distracted. Number three is this, and all of these sort of logically flow together, by the way. The Savior, the Lord, and then the third one, as you'll see on the screen, is this, staying focused on Jesus. Now you might think, well, now wait a minute, aren't we already talking about that? Well, we are to some degree. Waking up every morning and making Him the Lord. But the other concept is learning to surround yourself with His presence. Now you can't control that, but listen. God is, as the Lord and as God of creation, the one on His throne, as a believer, He is present in your life. At some point, you've got to begin to recognize that presence. And learn to rest in that presence. In other words, we call it here the focus. Learning to focus on Him. Not on the world, not on the problems, not on the struggles, but choose to focus on Him. And when He's your Savior, and you're making the decision to let Him be the Lord, then that focus now becomes possible. And this is sort of that idea of choosing to live within that community of believers. Choosing to understand the importance of being around other people who are in this journey themselves. Learning together to be focused. One of the things that became very abundant to me this week was that the DeLands and the Harris family are, while they are on mission for the Lord, and there is no question where they are with God and that they are comfortable that the Lord has brought them to Iaviti, they still feel remote. In fact, it was just a week ago at this very time that we gathered in their living room and had worship with them. And it looks very different, okay? We don't have musicians. We didn't have a piano or anything like that. It's just us with really recorded music sitting around in their living room and having an English worship service. They starve for that. And we often take so for granted the privilege that you and I have to come and worship not just once a week, but really three times a week. And when you're a missionary in places like that, worship is very different. You're starving for the fellowship with other believers. While there are believers in that village, it's just a handful. And so it always, again, sort of allows me to be convicted in a lot of ways when I think about all of the things that I take for granted when it comes to worship, when it comes to coming together with believers and understanding that together we're focusing on the Lord in this particular thing or that particular thing. And it's not just Chris and Ashley and Heather and Daniel. It's all throughout the world. Our missionaries sometimes struggle with that. But listen, we learn from the fact that we have opportunity after opportunity to be a part of a great community of believers. And it's not just a command in Scripture to do that, okay? It's a privilege to be a part of a community of believers so that we can learn together to stay focused on Christ and what He's doing. Sometimes the community helps sort of feed off of us and what the Lord is doing in our hearts. And sometimes the community helps us to get focused on the right things. I mean, God has created us to be a part of a body of believers. And so that's what's so important about understanding this journey that we're on in discovering meaning of life, is that we have others that are doing the very same thing, being a part of a community, keeping other things out of focus and focusing only on Jesus. And as we are in our budget year and now fixing to move to a new year, or in our budget season, listen, we got to make sure that we are focused as a congregation, as believers, as individuals who walk in the presence of the Lord, that we understand that we have no other option but to stay focused. And when we don't do that, then we begin to waver and lose sort of that sense of what the purpose of it all is, the meaning of it all. And you'll see that sometimes in the world where they're struggling, they're trying to figure it out. I mean, there are all kinds of drugs and other types of things out there that people are pursuing in order to, I think, just mask the fact that they've not found the meaning of it all. But yet we have that meaning through Jesus, no question about that. So we understand Him as our Savior. We understand the charge to make Him the Lord of our life. And then, as we've just said, that we understand the responsibility that we have to stay focused on Him in all arenas of our life. And then number four is this. And this is the one, I think, that Solomon, in my mind, if you look at the life of Solomon, he was the wisest man, they tell us, that ever lived. That he understood who God was and had a great connection with Him. But even Solomon, as well as his dad, we know David, sometimes struggled. And this is where we come to number four. Live each day in the center of His will. Now, I know we've talked about staying focused and making the Lord of your life. But we also need to make sure that we remain in the bounds of His presence. And that's, again, one of the things that I love. And I think some of you who've gone multiple times to IVD, there is just something about feeling the presence of God on that mountaintop. I mean, it's a point where Satan is attacking, no question. There are all kinds of evil things that take place on that mountain. And we saw some of those spiritual warfare things this last week. But you also sense God's presence there. And I think for me, it's because you don't have a lot of the other distractions. You don't have the TV, you don't have the radio, you don't have the cell phone and the emails and the computers. And while they have Wi-Fi, it does limit what you do get. And I, to be honest with you, I like the days when we didn't have any of that, except you just felt like if something was going on back here, an emergency, it would be hard to get word up the mountain to what's going on. But I really like the retreat mentality that goes on. Now, I know Chris and Ashley and probably Heather and Daniel probably don't agree with this. But we as believers sometimes need to get away from the hustle and bustle. And that's what I love about that, is because really you learn, or you're reminded, that God's presence, walking in the center of His will, is not just an action. And this may seem confusing to some. I hope not. But it's really a feeling in your heart knowing that you're in the center of God's will. I mean, there's nothing else that can speak to that. Knowing that God has you in the palm of His hand. That God is using you and working through you. And each day you're waking up and trying to figure out how to stay in the center of that. Some days we do better than others, no question. But understanding that we live each day, just as this point says, in the center of His will. We take each day, each moment, each chance or opportunity for Him. And choosing to live within the bounds of that presence. Now, we understand that God goes nowhere. He's always on His throne. But as we illustrated a couple of weeks ago, sometimes we turn our gaze away from Him. If He's up here, then sometimes we're turning and looking other ways. And while we can't all go to places like IVD, no question, we can't all go there. However, we can find opportunities to retreat into the presence of God even in our daily lives. Maybe it's your drive to work. I mean, I've commented on Birmingham traffic, but listen, Lima traffic, I mean, Birmingham traffic has nothing on Lima traffic. And I always enjoy watching the new people go be horrified. And my wife was one of those this week. I mean, putting feet on dashboards, grabbing seats and everything else, and sliding water bottles and all that kind of stuff as we're driving through. And it's everyday occurrence for them. But you know what? Even in the midst of that, now Birmingham's not as bad. So even in the midst of sometimes the congestion and the stress of going to work, sometimes that could be your retreat. Maybe it's your morning quiet time. Maybe it's getting up in the morning before everybody else gets up and spending time in our Father's presence and getting sort of programmed and getting everything in line for the day so that you can be reminded of His salvation, that He has gifted you, making sure He's the Lord of your life, being focused on Him and challenging yourself to be focused on Him throughout the day. And then live within the center of His will. You can't do that if you don't know His will. And you don't know His will if you're not spending time in His presence. Maybe your place of solitude would be at night after everybody goes to bed and finding that quiet place in the house just to spend some time on your knees praying and asking God to give you the ability to be focused on the true meaning of it all. Listen, wherever it is, whatever time it takes place, it's important that we're doing those things. And that we're searching and we're longing, that we're even hungering for those things. All right, well, this morning as we look at this, that would be my challenge, I think. And it's a challenge that's in my heart today as well. That we need to make sure that we're focused on the real meaning of it all. And it tells us very clearly in this passage to fear the Lord, all right, understand who He is, and obey His commands. And then we've listed four things that would help us do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for just Your presence. Thank You, Father, for the reminders that You give us on a regular basis and the one that You've given me this last week. And Lord, I know that in the hustle and bustle of the world, we are often tempted to forget really what the real meaning of it all is. And so this morning, I pray is that we look into Your scriptures as we go through the rest of our day, as we wake up tomorrow, Lord, that You would give us just a sense, Father, a longing, a hungering to put You in the throne seat of our life, to disregard all of the different alternatives the world's throwing at us. And as a believer, as a child of God, as we've said this morning, to be reminded of the salvation that we have through what Christ did on the cross, the importance, Father, of keeping You and Your Son, the Lord of our lives, staying focused on You in every arena of our life. And then living each day, choosing to do that, and living within the bounds of Your presence, in the center of Your will. Lord, we need renewal and revival. We do. And I pray that You would revive our hearts. Father, to be what it is that You have called and ordained each of us to be. Father, I'm thankful for Your word. And I pray this morning, if there's someone here, as we said, who's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I can imagine much of what we talked about today could be confusing to them. My prayer, Father, that as we go into our time of commitment, that Your Spirit, the work of Your Holy Spirit, would cause them, Father, to rise and come forward and truly be willing to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, we have people here who would love, as brothers and sisters in Christ, just to share with them how they can come to know Jesus and how they can make Him the Lord of their life. Lord, there may be believers here this morning who have been occupied by things that really, in the bigger scheme of things, aren't that important. They focused on minor things and gotten out of focus on major things. And I pray, Father, that You, through Your Holy Spirit, would convict them and bring their focus back on You, as we've talked about this morning, to really discover the meaning of it all, the purpose of it all, that long ago You created every single one of us to live within that meaning and purpose. I pray, Lord, that You would guide us as we pursue to be in the center of Your will. God, You bless this time of commitment, response. You guide us as we do this. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?